All right. Thanks, kids. Today we're going to talk about passing on the baton. And one of the things we need to be really in prayer for this morning is this coming week is the beginning of school. All the parents go, yay! Okay, I know what you're really thinking there. And we believe in the power of prayer at our church. So I'd like to have all the school teachers, if you're a homeschool parent, a Christian school teacher, if you work in the office, you work in the playground, you work in the cafeteria, if you have a ministry of reaching students all the way up to CBC, if you are working in any way, Lord, the Lord needs to know that you're ready to be used by Him. So we're going to pray for you right now. So please stand up. If you don't need prayer, you can remain seated. Please stand up. Could we change the house lights? Is that possible so we can see the people standing? Thank you so much. Remain standing because we're going to pray for you. Look around. Please look around at the people that are standing because they need your prayer, not just today. They need it all year long. Lord God, we thank you for those that are standing. You know their situation. You know the kids they'll be working with. You know the opportunities they'll have this year. You know the divine appointments, Lord, you're going to bring to them. Lord God, may they see themselves as your servant, going to your mission field, that those children, those young people, they would see the love of Jesus. They would experience the love of Jesus. I remember your word that talks about Christians being a fragrance of Christ. So I pray those classrooms would smell like Jesus because of these servants that are standing. And the children and the young people would be drawn to Christ because of what they see and what they hear. Lord, give them patience, give them wisdom, give them understanding, give them discernment. Lord God, thank you for what you're going to do in and through them this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We're talking about passing on the baton. If you've been following us this year, our larger annual theme is called Find Us Faithful. And this year's strategy is to have three chapters in discussing that topic. The first chapter was to look back the generations that have gone before us. We learned about church history and all those Christ followers that have gone before us and how important it is to know what Christianity looks like from the past. And then we spent a season this summer learning about how to be faithful ourselves through the book of 1 Peter. How do we walk faithfully for Jesus? And today we're starting a new chapter, the third chapter. And it's on how to help the next generation be faithful to Christ. If you are a parent or grandparent, you're going to hear a lot of talks the next couple of weeks about how to pass it on to others, to your families. We're going to study the life of David together and learn about some things he did right and some things he did wrong in his family. Some things that happened in his life that were really great lessons for us of what to do and some great lessons of what not to do. If you are not a parent or a grandparent, please do not check out mentally on this topic. Because as I was sharing with the children, I believe every Christ follower has the obligation to pass it on to somebody else. This is not an isolated Lone Ranger lifestyle called Christianity. This is a relational experience where Christ fills you with His love and then you pass it on to somebody else. Okay. I asked you a question a few weeks ago. Are you a cul-de-sac or a conduit? Does it come to you and then it just stays, or does it flow through you? And you've got to make that decision to not only receive what Christ has for you, but then to pass it on to somebody else. So for our scripture reading today, I've chosen Psalms 127 and a few verses from 128. So please stand with me as we read God's word. Psalms 127. It says, if you have some study notes in your Bible, that this is a song of Solomon, actually, that the son of David came to this understanding through the Holy Spirit. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Father in heaven, we pray for your blessing on our families. We pray for your blessing on our nation, Lord, in these coming weeks before an election. We pray, Lord, that you would first build our lives and fill us with your love and your wisdom. And then, Lord, teach us how to pass it on to others today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. All right, so I hope that some of you understand this concept of passing the baton. You maybe have seen the Olympics and you realize the challenges of a relay race. If you understand anything about track and field, the challenges of a relay race are, first of all, the runner that is beginning the race needs to hold on to this baton and not let go of it. You can be running with all kinds of energy and all kinds of speed, but if he drops the baton, it's not going anywhere toward victory. Sometimes we drop the baton in the transition. Sometimes the transition is awkward, and so the momentum of the speed of the team stops, and there's not a smooth transition. Sometimes people run without the baton. It gets dropped, and they keep running, and by the way, they're disqualified. And then sometimes in that window of time when they're supposed to pass the baton, they pass it too early or they pass it too late. And the timing of the passing is also very important. We have been asked by the Lord Jesus to pass it on. Okay? If you want, it said, once said, if you want your ideas to last for years, write them on paper. If you want them to last for decades, write them on brick. If you want them to last for centuries, write them on stone. And if you want your ideas to last forever, write them on the heart of a child. There is a truth that something can be taken into heaven. As you enter heaven, there's a lot of things you cannot take, but you can take people with you to heaven. So how do we pass this baton on to someone else, whether it's your kids or your grandkids or just to those that you meet? How do we do it? So let me share a couple thoughts with you. First of all, you need to hold it yourself. You cannot pass on something that you do not hold yourself. Okay, so we're going to study the life of David. And we don't know a lot about his family, but we do know a few things. He had a great grandpa named Boaz. If you study the book of Ruth, you'll learn that Boaz was a great man of God. That was his great grandpa. His grandpa was Obed. We don't know a lot about Obed. And then his dad was a man named Jesse. And we do know that he had a spiritual life. We do know that there were sacrifices to the Lord in his family. We do know he had some connection with Samuel. But we really don't know a lot about Jesse. But we do know something about David. And before David could pass his spiritual life, his faith, on to his kids, he needed to get something figured out himself. So the first bullet point is you need to know the Lord yourself. You cannot pass on what you do not have. You remember Psalms 23, verse 1. The first phrase is, the Lord is my shepherd. This concept of a relationship with God, David had to figure out himself. When we do our baptisms in a few weeks, if you want your kids or grandkids to get baptized, you cannot drag them into the river. And you cannot put your finger on my chest and say, Pastor Phil, baptize my family, as they're screaming their heads off and being dragged into the water. Okay, because that's not the way it works with Christianity. You want to pass something on, they need to see that you have a faith in Christ first. This idea of a shepherd and God had been around for quite a few generations. In fact, in Genesis 48, verse 15, Jacob is talking and he says this, "The God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day." So this idea that you look at God and you see him as your shepherd, that you are his sheep. Now, what does that mean? If you study the Bible, this is what you'll discover. You'll discover that there is a truth of ownership. In Psalms 100, verse 3, it is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So if you understand this truth, the Lord is my shepherd, you're going to understand that the Lord is the owner of your life. He is your master. He is the one in control. You have surrendered to him. It also speaks of relationship. John 10:14 says, "I know my own, they know me, and we are walking together." There's a relationship with the Lord. It's not a head knowledge thing. It's not how much you know about God. It's that you know him and he knows you. It involves commitment, where the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep and Christ has laid his life down for you. It involves guidance, where his sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow. So your kids and your grandkids are going to be watching you. Are you making decisions? Are you living your life because you're following the Lord? And that's why you do what you do. Or are you following some other idea of life? It also involves care. Isaiah 40, verse 11, the good shepherd takes his sheep up into his chest and he carries them and he takes care of them. It involves protection. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. So your children and grandchildren, your friends at work and people around you, they need to know you're not afraid. You're not afraid of the future because the Lord is your shepherd.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And so you need to know the Lord first, yourself. Second, you need to know what you believe. Before you can pass something on, you need to know really what you believe. It's not just this feeling that you have that you want them to have. You need to share what you believe. Psalms 132:12 says, "If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne." So the relationship you have, David, with the Lord, you need to teach your kids and grandkids, and you need to realize that it's not just teaching them some general thoughts, but I have something very specific I want you to teach them. Now, what's the Davidic covenant? In 1 Chronicles, there's a promise that God made to David and his family. He says in 1 Chronicles 17, "I will make you a name. I will raise up your offspring. I will establish your throne forever." In 1 Chronicles 28:7, he adds, "And I will establish his kingdom forever if he continues strong in keeping my commandments and my rules." Now, there was an opportunity to have a relationship with God, but there needed to be a response by David, and there needed to be a response by the kids and the grandkids. In fact, in verse 9, it says, "And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind." So when David was pouring himself into his son, he said, "Now, wait, don't just believe this in your head. You need to give your heart to this. This is what you need to believe." And so he taught his kids. You also need to, now this is an important one, you need to live what you believe. Because kids will see right through what you're saying to them if you don't live what you believe. R.C. Chapman said this, "There are many who preach Christ, but not many who live Christ. My great aim will be to live Christ." Proverbs 27 says, "The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." That word integrity is kind of a hard one to put your hands around, but this is what it means. It means that your belief and your behavior come together. And then you have the blessing on the next generation. When your belief and behavior are disconnected, then you're in trouble. Your kids will not follow really what you want them to be following, because they're going to hear your words, but they're going to see your actions, and they'll be more inclined to follow your actions. And so then you're going to go, "Why are they the way they are?" Because they saw a disconnect in your life. Now, this does not mean that you have to be perfect, but you do need to watch the disconnect of what you say you believe and what you're actually doing. 2 Kings 17:41, very interesting story. The nation of Israel in the north were taken away into exile, but some of them stayed in the land. And other people from other nations were brought in. And they became a mixture in the northern part of Israel. Later, they were called Samaritans. They had a mixed belief system of the way they lived their lives. This is what the scripture says. These nations feared the Lord. Okay, that's a great thing. We talked about the blessing of fearing the Lord earlier in our scripture reading. And also served their carved images. Interesting lifestyle. We fear the Lord, and we also worship idols. Their children, now watch this, did likewise, and their children's children, as their fathers did, so they do to this day. Kids, grandkids, on and on and on. They embrace a lifestyle that says, yes, believe in God. Yes, follow God. Yes, live for God. And yes, do whatever you also want to do in the world. And the kids pick up on that. And the grandkids pick up on that. Do you know in the Hudson River, on the east coast of our country, the Hudson River runs in two directions. The Atlantic tides move the water north into the river. And the source of the river moves the water south. And the Hudson River moves in two directions. Sad to say, that's true for a lot of people that claim the name of Christ. They're moving in two directions, toward the Lord and toward the world. Elijah noticed the problem in 1 Kings 18. And he asked this question. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. You can't have it both ways. Okay. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, he's not saying that you can't have money in your life. And he's not saying you can't enjoy this world and the things of this world, but you have to make a decision. What are you really living for? Who is really on the throne? To follow Jesus, you must make choices. Now, here's the question. Does your family and your friends, does your family and friends, do they know without any doubt your number one priority is to live for Jesus Christ? If it isn't, there's going to be a consequence. Exodus 20, verse 5 says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation. Now, we know in the Bible that your kids and grandkids don't pay for your sins. Okay, everybody's individually accountable to God. But there is this principle that my priorities and my decision making and my focus has an impact on the next couple of generations. My kids and my grandkids will absorb like a sponge the things that matter to me. Now watch this. The absence of devotion, the absence of obedience, plus you pass on that. The baton can look like a lot of things, and sometimes it looks like compromise. You will have the impact of your choices on the next generation. Okay, so you have to hold the baton firmly yourself. Clarify your own personal faith in Christ and clarify what you believe, and you need to be ready then to clearly pass it on. Now, here's the second thing you need to do. You need to communicate the faith clearly. They're not going to get it accidentally. You need to make a decision. Now, when the relay teams get together for the Olympics, they have an intentional plan. They practice passing the baton. Now, when I was younger and did some track and field, they taught us a particular technique that the person to receive the baton had the hand open like this, down low, and you can decide whether you're right-handed or left-handed, but you had to decide ahead of time and tell the person ahead of time. And we had the underhand slap technique where we would slap it into the hand of the person in front of us. And that's how I learned how to do a relay race when I was younger. I noticed in the Olympics this time around, they had a totally different technique. They had an up high and a motion like this. and they had learned, evidently, maybe their eyesight, maybe instead of the blind thing, that up high was better. I don't know exactly why they chose that, but our girls broke a world record, so go girls. I mean, they know what they're doing, I guess. They didn't ask me. I don't know why, but I would have told them how I had learned how to do it. But you know what? Each team had to figure out their technique, but then they communicated the technique. They didn't all do their own thing. I'm going to be an up high guy and you're going to be a down low guy. And I'm just going to have my hands just kind of going like this. And you just find my hand and we'll win the race. No, you need to have an intentional plan. And so the same thing is true with Christianity. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Verse 7 continues, talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. One of the things as parents, my wife and I complained about, but actually we also embraced, that before our kids got their driver's license, we had to drive them everywhere. How many parents complain about being a carpool person? I mean, come on now. How many places do I have to take my kids and, you know, driving them there and driving them there and driving there? Oh, man, it's going to be so nice when you have your own license. You can go where you need to go and I don't have to take you. Okay, that's complaint. But the blessing was we had some of our best conversations when we were driving our kids places. In fact, just recently, our family was together for Isaiah's 12th birthday party, and we were sitting around the table, and we talked about some tough stuff, and we had a little debate even going on. And you know what? That's what families need to do. Families need to talk about stuff and interact about the issues of life and what the Bible says and what does Christ want us to be doing and what's the right choice and listen to one another and share God's word with each other. We need to have an awareness of what's called teachable moments. Maybe it's a time in the car. Maybe it's a time around the dinner table, time on vacation, time working together, doing chores. But you need to be looking for teachable moments. If you don't have any kids or grandkids, you need to be looking for teachable moments with the people that God brings into your life. And that there's no accidents. That God is going to bring people to you for a reason. And so Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. So we were at the fair yesterday. We were watching Pastor Keith and his One Voice Worship Band on the stage. They did a great job. And if you weren't there, you really missed. But right next to it, they had a dog training competition where they had trained dogs to run along the platform and jump into the water. And they had a competition of how long or how far they could jump. And I loved the instructions that they were giving, you know, and the dogs actually listened. I did this to my dogs and they go, what's that? You know, they don't listen. They just do their own thing. You know, train up a child in the way he should go. The last part of that verse is from a Hebrew word for mouth. And there's a couple of possibilities. One, it could be referring to the bit for horses, that the best way to train a horse is you put a bit in their mouth and that gets their attention and you can now train them. It could also mean to create the right appetite. If you want to influence somebody, your children, your grandchildren or your friends, you need to create the right appetite. You need to create an atmosphere where they're going to want to do the right thing. They're going to want to learn from you because they see it's working for you. They see you have something that they don't have. Proverbs 15:14 says the mouths of fools feed on folly. So if your kids are acting foolishly somewhere along the line, there's probably an influence that's feeding them. And maybe it's you. Or maybe it's someone else. The obligation of a parent is to find ways to feed your kids the things you want them to really grab onto. We're starting a parenting class September 9th at the 9 a.m. hour. And it's called Raising Truly Great Kids by Tim Kimmel. And it's really, how do you take a child and teach them about the grace of God? How do you teach them how to live for God? And how do you get them from point A to point B? And it's a great class. This will be a video training class And you need to really look at that. It's coming up on September 9th. Our next door neighbors, Brad and Debbie, we appreciate them. And I hope they don't mind me mentioning them in a sermon. But they got two very cute dogs. And they got these dog collars around them. I love it, you know, because if the dogs get too close to my yard, you know, the collar kind of gives them a little electric charge, you know. And so I really don't do this, but it'd be kind of fun to sit there and go, come on, come on, let's see, come on, come on. No, I would not do that. But in this training process, your kids and grandkids and friends need to see that you have some boundaries. And they need to understand the value of those boundaries. So you need to have some plan. Maybe you need to have some plan times, and maybe you need some spontaneous times. Maybe the plan time is at bedtime or at breakfast. We had a family night every Monday night as a family, and that's when we really focused on teaching our kids God's Word and reading them stories, and we acted out Bible stories, and they knew Monday night was family night. Maybe it's what you do on Sundays with your family. Maybe you need to intentionally tell God stories to your family, where when the Lord is answering your prayers, you tell them about it. You pass it on to your friends. When you go to work on Monday, you tell your friends the blessing that you had, maybe an answer to prayer. It says in Psalms 22, it shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. So it's told of the Lord to the coming generation. So this is what it means, that future generations, New Living Translation says, will hear about the wonders of the Lord. So what should your kids hear about? Will they sense your excitement for God? Do you know that this summer, and your kids need to know this, that our church family, in just a couple weeks' time, raised $31,000 to give to Jesus Wells. Your kids should know that you're excited about that. Your kids should know that we've had three missions teams, and we care about the whole world. That the kids at Bible school, I believe, picked up on the adults' excitement when they gave $2,100 for mosquito nets for Mali, Africa. I believe they did that because their parents and grandparents said, this is a good thing. This is what we would do. We have 23 people signed up for baptism in the river coming up on September 9th. Okay, 23 people. You need to bring your families to that. Well, why would we go to there? It's too hot. That's got bugs. I don't like potlucks or whatever you want to say. You know what? You come and bring your kids and grandkids. Bring your friends, so they can hear the stories of how Christ is changing lives. And then they get excited about it because they know you're excited about it. Psalms 48:13 says that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever, and He will guide us forever. So, I mean, they should be hearing that we are not afraid of the future. We're not afraid of what's going on in our world because we have a God that we're trusting. Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. We're not going to keep it a secret. Okay, if you are a Christ follower and you are keeping it a secret of the difference Christ has made in your life, you are out of God's will. Okay, because God's will is that you would share what He has done in your life. I don't know if you read in the paper recently, but an Ohio man was digging through his grandfather's attic, and he unearthed a soot-covered cardboard box containing century-old baseball cards worth an estimated $3 million. In Ohio, what had happened was that this aunt had taken over the estate of the parents, and they just kept all these boxes in the attic. And what this grandfather had was some kind of a hardware store at the turn of the 20th century. And for a promotion, he was given this box of baseball cards, and he never did anything with them. He just took the box and put them in an attic. They had been untouched. 1910 series, Ty Cobb, Cy Young, Honus Wagner, and all the Hall of Famers. And they're in their untouched wrappers. Okay, and they'd been in an attic for 100 years, give or take a year. And there they were, frozen in time. Sometimes we have a personal faith in Christ, but we keep it to ourselves, and that is not God's will. Psalms 102, verse 18. Let this be recorded for a generation to come so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. The very least that you should do is write down your testimony of Christ changing your life and give it to your kids and grandkids or your friends. If you're going to get baptized, we encourage you to invite your family and friends to your baptism so they can hear the difference that Jesus has made. Let me share one last thought with you. And that is, you need to lead the way. If you want people to follow, you need to lead the way. Okay. Job 1:5 says Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And it's talking about Job's family. And he had a big family. He had 7 sons. And what he did is they'd get together in a family gathering, and then he would, number one priority, early in the morning, before he did anything else, he would offer a burnt offering for each one of his sons. He would act as a priest. This was probably before the time of Moses. And he would mediate or be an intercessor between himself and the Lord. And he would intercede for his kids. Now, no family is perfect. Our family is close, but no family is perfect. No kid is perfect. No grandkid is perfect. Each one of us needs to be prayed for. There is a false idea in our culture. And let me just clarify to you what it is. I've heard this so many times. Oh, I'm just going to let my kids decide when they're old enough if they want to believe in God or not. That is a wrong teaching. That it comes straight from the devil. Okay, because God's word says that you have a responsibility of influence. If you take the false idea, what you're saying is, I will not influence my kid the right way. I won't take my kid to church. I'll just let them decide when they're old enough. I'll never teach them about spiritual things. And what you're really doing is you're letting other people teach them. Or you're teaching them that God isn't important. We are supposed to lead our families. Supposed to lead our families. Psalms 145:4 says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. The older to the younger to the older. Actually, it's supposed to go both ways. I was in a hospital visiting Sheila recently, a relative of the McCures, and one of the huge blessings was I was trying to encourage this lady that's facing death possibly to trust in God. So I gave her a scripture. I says, I want you to remember this. When I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. And the daughter said, huh, that's what my 4-year-old learned at your Bible school this last week. Trust God. Here's a 4-year-old talking to the mom who's now talking to the grandma. Trust God. So the generations have an influence with each other. Zach Fisher challenged his grandpa quite a few years ago, Charlie, who was not a believer. Grandpa, why don't you want to go to heaven with us? And that got Charlie's attention. And that's how he came to Christ. We have senior adults in our church that are leading the way. They're serving in the kitchen every Thursday night with CR. They're serving on Sunday mornings, driving vans to the mission. We have multi-generations in our church that are caring about the Lord Jesus, and they want to make a difference, and we need to see we have a responsibility to lead the way. Okay. Tony Evans said this. I'm going to skip a couple of slides here. Tony Evans said this: a leader knows the way, shows the way, goes the way, and leads the way. So my mom and dad were first generation Christians. Their parents were not Christians. And so they came to Christ, and they handed me the baton of faith. And I have handed it to my son and daughter, Joy and Jared. And now they're handing it to their kids, my 6 grandkids. And we have 4 generations in this church. My mom, me, my kids, and their kids. That doesn't happen accidentally. And God loves it when we pass it on. Some of you have seen some of the footage, maybe all the way back to 2004, the Summer Olympics, where the American women's 4x100 relay race was favored to win the gold medal. Marion Jones and all kinds of fast runners, and it was just like going to be a no-brainer. And you might remember when Marion Jones was passing on the baton, it didn't get passed on, and the baton stopped. It has been said that Christianity is one generation away from extinction. We need to decide, first of all, do we believe? Does it matter to us? And then we need to decide, are we going to pass it on? Lord God, I pray for your help right now. There are some in this room that have been on the fence. Their life has been a life of compromise. They've had a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of God and a little bit of church and a lot of the world. And Lord God, I pray they would decide today. They would be fully surrendered to you. If there are some in this room that need to be baptized, I pray they would start thinking about, be ready to fully identify with you. Lord God, if there's other Christ followers in this room that have been keeping Christianity a secret, they have not shared it with anybody, they have not told anybody, they have not been excited about you with anybody, Lord, I pray you would generate a new enthusiasm in this church family and a new sense of responsibility. Lord, I pray for the next generation. Lord, I pray they would know how much you mean to us. Lord God, give us creative ideas. Give us a boldness. Give us those teachable moments. We desperately want to pass the baton on successfully. In Jesus' name, amen. If we can pray with you and help you in your walk with God, feel free to come. Our elders.